Hi, this is John Floridis. Welcome to Musician Spotlight. Our guest today is the Shook Twins. Welcome to Musician Spotlight. I'm very pleased to welcome the Shook Twins, Caitlin and Lori Shook, to the show today. How are you doing?
Great.
We're great.
Caitlin and Lori are originally from Sandpoint, Idaho, and the group is now based out of Portland. It seems like all of a sudden I started hearing about the group in a number of different circles, and it kind of seemed like you had popped, as they said in the music business. Have you heard that term? All of a sudden the Shook Twins have popped. So how does it feel to have popped? Does it feel like you've
we
popped?
We didn't know we popped. But it feels very exciting.
Yeah, I mean, in a really good way, really positive way. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, we've been feeling the momentum for sure, but we're not really aware of how far the momentum has spread. Since we moved to Portland almost 4 years ago, the career has just really taken off, and it's mostly due to our awesome manager. We started work with him almost 2 years ago, and he's just a really, really hardworking guy. And we just had more people on the team, a great publicist and a manager. And so, yeah, it just makes such a difference when people know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. Believe in it and help it out.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about that move to Portland and get there via the fact that you're from Sandpoint. Let's just talk about how that area influenced you personally and also how it influenced the music that you write.
Sandpoint first? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let's start with Sandpoint.
Our band started in Sandpoint after we graduated college in 2006. We decided to just move back there and live in the back house of our parents' house and gather a bunch of other homeless musicians and all live there together. At that time, there was just a handful of bands. I guess there kind of still is. It's a pretty small music scene there. So we had a lot of support from family because all of our family's there and wonderful people. So we were big fish in a tiny little pond for a couple years and toured based out of there, just mostly on the West Coast. And then after a couple years, the band actually broke up. And so Caitlin and I were just decided to go to Portland and go to a bigger music scene and be smaller fish and a smaller band.
Our music has definitely changed since we've been to Portland. Before, out of Sandpoint, we were just, there's a lot of nature references, which we still do now, of course, but... you know, we have a song about Sandpoint on our earlier record, and so we've just definitely been influenced by the city scene with the just kind of a little more hipstery vibe, I guess.
Yeah. But. A little. Portland, Oregon.
Yeah, they're way hipster, but we started wearing skinny jeans, and music's changed a little. So it's definitely been transformed since we moved to a city.
Quirky folk. This comes up quite a bit in researching the bios of the Shook Twins. So I wanted to talk about that. How does one bring the quirk to music?
Yeah, it's quirky to us means unexpected twists, kind of. So that definitely happens in our music with our weird elements that we have. I beatbox sometimes in the middle of a song. Yeah,
I can't beatbox at all.
I'll drop a beat on my mouth or on the banjo. I'll pound on the banjo and loop a beat that way when we don't have a drummer. Sometimes we have a drummer and sometimes I'm the drummer. So there's a lot of different things, different angles going on there. And Caitlin has a telephone microphone. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's just an old telephone receiver. And I found it on Craigslist for $20, and it's changed my whole vibe. It's so cool. And it's kind of just my texture mic. You know, I sing a little bit into it every song, or sing a whole song into it sometimes. And it's just it has a little bit of distortion, and I don't put it through any pedals. It's just reverby and sounds really far away, and it sounds like a telephone, like a call from space.
Yeah.
It's lovely. So, and then Lori plays a giant golden egg. Yeah. Which is also very quirky.
A magical golden egg.
Yeah, well, I want to get to that in a second. It's definitely on the agenda.
I mean, before we moved to Portland, we were pretty straight up traditional singer-songwriters, and when we went to Portland, we knew we had to stand out. And so Lori started just really mastering her looping station and then adding more beats just to get more of a groove because we missed that. And just layering different things over each other so it sounds like more than two people. And now that we have a full band, Lori still does a lot of looping, so now it's just expanded and sounds like way more layers and complex, even though it's actually pretty simple stuff that we're doing. But it's really cool.
Thank you.
This is John Floridas. You're listening to Musician Spotlight. I'm joined today by the Shook twins, Caitlin and Lori Shook. Well, let's talk about the egg. We would be remiss in not talking about the egg. So let's talk about this egg.
The egg. It just came full circle, actually. The first night of this tour, we met the creator of the egg. But I'll tell you how it started with me. I was in Seattle about 3 years ago, and outside of a hockey concert, our good friends, and some guy just had it under his arm, leaning up against the bar wall there. And I was the only one that thought that was weird. And I asked him about it, and he said very nonchalantly, "Oh, I don't know, some lady just gave it to me and told me I had to sign it and pass it on to the next person." And so I got really excited and was like, "Oh, I really want this egg." I was super drawn to it. And
it's really big. It's like a foot big and really gold.
Yeah. It looks like a pterodactyl laid it or something.
Yeah.
If pterodactyls lay eggs or laid eggs.
Yeah. So I signed it, and then I kept it I still have it, obviously. And I just kept it around, and it was in the house. It just always made me happy, and I thinking I was going to give it away at some point, but I just never did. Instead, I sat on the couch and put popcorn kernels in the top of it in this tiny popcorn-shaped hole and made it a giant golden egg shaker. And then after that, we put a little contact sticky mic on it that comes on and off, and I play it as a drum too. So it's an instrument in the band, and even more in love with it now. And still, I have it, you know, in the back of my mind that I'm going to give it away because that's the tradition. But I was wishing all along that I could meet the people who started the tradition of the sign it and pass it on, or whoever started it in the first place. And so we were in Seattle playing the Tractor Tavern, and after we played that show, I got an email from a kid that was so excited, and he told me that his story, that he and his four friends, college friends, started the egg, the signing tradition, after they had it for like 2 years and loved it just as much as I did. And they got it from a hipster Mad Hatter, is what they described him as. Purple suit and
of course,
top hat. Yep. Yeah. And he was walking across the street with the golden egg under his arm, and they were very intrigued and asked him about it. And he said that it was a magical golden egg that grants wishes, and told them to all make a wish, and then he embraced them with the egg in the middle. And Kip Gallagher is the guy who emailed me, and his wish was to keep the egg. So the hipster Mad Hatter just let go and just slithered away. And they kept the egg for 2 years. And when they were all graduating college, they all loved it too much for one person to have it, so they decided to pass it on the same way he gave it to them. And they passed it to some kid, and they did the same thing, you know, hugged him and made a wish. And it could have been the same guy that passed it to me, but he was so nonchalant about it. You'd think that he would say, oh, I don't know, four wonderful people told me to make a wish as they embraced me, but I don't know. But it was only 3 days in between that guy and me, and so we have had it ever since, and we just recently found out that it was started by LuciaNire.org. She's an amazing woman in Seattle who does performance art pieces, and it started in 2008 with 30 chefs, people dressed as chefs, doing a dance with golden eggs, and they went out and handed it out to the audience and told everybody to make a wish, and somehow it got into my hands.
Got to the hipster Mad Hatter.
Yeah, yeah.
That's an amazing story. I mean, the egg in and of itself is pretty amazing. A, B, I did not realize that it was not a musical instrument at
yeah.
one time.
Yeah.
And B, when you hear that whole story, that's remarkable.
Yeah, it's wonderful. It's kind of a manifestation of magic for me, really. Mm-hmm. It's just so wonderful. It makes me so happy.
I like the fact that the whole notion of magicness and wishes really did pass along, you know, mm-hmm. and we've been telling our audiences, make a wish, because yeah. it really makes, it, you know, it creates
works.
Wishes. It really
yeah.
does, yeah.
Because kidney stones with it.
Some guy's like, I have kidney stones, and I told him to make a wish, and he's like, oh, they passed last night. And Lucia said that she would sing to them all 30 of her eggs that she made, and she totally cast spells on them. You know, she's a very cool woman. We were just really excited to meet her. We didn't really get to talk to her. She came into our show
dressed as a mouse.
Dressed as a mouse and with
no
three other
way.
People dressed as cake that smelled like cake. They were emitting scents
so,
of cake.
So in the midst of your concert, these people just
yeah.
arrived
yeah.
the in costume
with another,
at the
holding
tractor
another
tavern.
Golden egg. Yeah, it was amazing.
Oh my gosh.
That was just a couple days ago.
That is remarkable.
Perfect start to the tour.
The This is John Floridis. You're listening to Musician Spotlight. I'm joined today by the Shook Twins, Caitlin and Lori Shook. And if you've been listening to the interview this far, if you haven't guessed already, they are indeed twins. So I can attest the fact they even sound check in harmony for interviews. And obviously, I guess a question that I'm sure you get asked all the time is, it's one thing to have harmony between siblings, but when you are twins, that seems like a whole other level.
Mm-hmm. We didn't pick up instruments until we were 18, but we sang always and never really figured out harmony until, what was it, probably sixth or seventh grade. But we started in choir together in fifth grade, and I was just reading my journal. We had a duet, and I was talking about how happy we were. We actually did good. It was so cute. Yeah, that was our first time ever singing together, was in fifth grade, a duet for the Lion King medley.
Growing up in choir, we took 9 years of choir, too, so that really helped us blend well together and with other people, and it just works out.
Yeah, even now, like, listening to recordings of ourselves, sometimes I can't tell who, if it's me singing or if it's Lori singing. Mm.
And looking at photos, too, we can't tell who's who sometimes. Yeah.
So we understand when you mix us up.
I wanted to ask about the box office. Is the box office still open?
Yeah, you know about the box office.
I know about the box office. That's awesome. Did my research.
Yeah, we are very proud of our production side of this life. Lori and I have been putting on house shows for lots of years. First started out doing it in that shack in the back of our parents' house that all of us wayward musicians lived in. And created a total cool space with, you know, we do our own sound and lights and just have our friends come and play. But now we've started a whole series of house shows in Portland. We have an awesome basement, and our landlord's very cool with letting us do this.
This is definitely something that most musicians don't take the time to do.
Yeah.
So I guess my question to follow up that, why?
Because we love it. Yeah. We really like doing sound. Mm-hmm. We're
very picky.
We're sound snobs.
Yeah. And when we've come to a place where we're so critical, and it's getting frustrating, especially with sound, but also with the energy of the venue, you know, and you're seeing one of your favorite bands and it's like, oh God, that would be so much cooler if the sound is better, or I wish these people would stop talking. I wish this. Mm-hmm. And you just want to see your ideal show with your ideal band in your ideal venue. And so we just do it for ourselves, basically.
That's great.
And our wonderful roommates. Yeah. Yeah. Jenna and Matthew help us out.
Yeah. So we control it and make it exactly what we want in a very non-controlling way. We're very chill.
That's awesome. There's, you know, assigned seating and everything.
Just kidding.
Tonight I can't sleep. I'm thinking of the day we'll have microchips as brains, and I'll look at you with blue light bulb eyes. Oh my dear, would you still look back the same? Thank you.
One of the other things I wanted to talk to you about was whether you felt if you were indeed successful gypsies.
Yes. Successful gypsies all the way.
And how does one define being a successful gypsy?
Well, we live out of a school bus and we travel the nation now. We're going out to the Midwest this in a couple of weeks. And just the whole lifestyle of going to new places, meeting new friends. If you just like look at it that way and take the music out of it, we're totally just like wandering around gypsies and having the best time.
We have enough money to feed ourselves mm-hmm. and put gas in the tank and mm-hmm. there's no drama and our team is wonderful and we just have a beautiful experience mm-hmm. every time.
Yeah. So it's a pretty cool job.
Well, I can attest to the existence of this bus. I've seen this bus. I've seen the inside of this bus, peeked in there. And we're not talking about just a little bitty bus. This is a bus.
Our bass player, Kyle Volkman, we bought this bus 6 years ago. It was our first tour bus, but it's totally reformed. He had someone raise the roof, took off the roof and added a foot to it and welded it back on and just built a little log cabin on the inside and put there's running water and electricity and now we have a fridge. It's going to happen soon. And we have to cut a hole in the side of the bus tomorrow.
Sleep six people. All our gear fits under the bed. It's pretty amazing.
I would think that would help kind of reinvigorate you after a show to know where you're going to be, there's an element of home while you're out there. No matter how much you like to be gypsies, there's still gypsies eventually have someplace they go to at night. You know?
And we're kind of homebodies in a way, I always get really excited to go home and have a really great time just chilling at my house, in Portland and in Sandpoint. But so this way, we decided to splurge because it's not the best gas mileage and take this bus on this big 6 week tour because it's just after a while, if you're living out of a van for 6 weeks, you just start getting really homesick and you need your space, mm-hmm. and just having that space with us all the time, it'll just make it a lot easier. Mm-hmm. So.
ShookTwins.com is the name of the website, and lots of good stuff up there. Plenty of videos, really strong video presence, which I think is great because it really brings home what happens in a Shook Twins live performance, which is visually very compelling as well as musically. So Caitlin and Lori Shook, the Shook Twins, it's been a pleasure having you on the show, and thanks so much for coming by and talking shop with us.
Yeah, thanks
for having us.
This was a wonderful interview.
Yeah.
This is John Floridis. You've been listening to Musician Spotlight. Our guest today has been the Shook Twins. If you'd like to contact us, you can do so through the Montana Public Radio website, mtpr.org. You can also find us at our own website, musicianspotlight.org, as well as on Facebook. Our program is now available as a downloadable podcast from those websites, as well as from iTunes. Musicians Spotlight is a production of Montana Public Radio.